Welcome back to our Wednesday night study at Calvary Chapel, Wichita. We're going through our Momentum series currently, and it's a series that helps us hopefully see God moving during these difficult times that we live in. It helps us even when we think that life is standing still and we're not being used. In week one, we've been going for, I guess this is our fourth week now. Week one, we looked at saving grace. It's about God's movement and momentum of initiating His grace towards us. And we learned that we could move with the momentum of His grace through Jesus Christ or drowned in it, trying to swim against His current, and that we were meant to be saved, and that was His intention towards us. Then we looked at week two at surrender. We learned about the momentum of just surrendering our lives, everything that we like to hold on to, the things that we think we want to hold dear in this world, the materialism and things of that nature. And God is calling us to surrender and lay down our life, and we get to surrender to Him and let Him have control of our lives. And then in the third week, which was our last week, which was suffering. And suffering, we found out, was a tool that God likes to use to get our attention and accomplish His purposes in our lives. It is designed to build our trust in the Almighty, but suffering requires the right response if it is to be successful in accomplishing God's purposes. So in all of this, in the last 3 weeks, it's so easy to forget that as we're walking in all those things, that we want to share. We want to share all this good stuff that we've been talking about. And so this great work that God is doing in our lives, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Sharing is caring, right? Right? That's what we say. We say sharing is caring. And, well, I would be inclined to agree if it was not for all the times that sharing goes wrong. You ever seen sharing go wrong? I see it all the time, actually, out where I work. And it kind of, has anybody heard the saying, when keeping it real goes too far? You know, when it goes too far? Well, this is when sharing goes wrong. It's when, like, some of the boys I work with, you know, they like to share their bad language with me. And I like to share my bad attitude with them. And I see it. It's something that seems natural to all of us. We like to share bad things. And, you know, even if I see also boys, residents at where I work, give something to one another, like, I'll give you this if it will control your behavior, if it will control the way you respond to me. And so a lot of times we give things to people in order that we might receive something in return, right? We don't have the most genuine heart about, you know, really loving that person. We're really wanting something in return. So in the Bible, we see other for instances of bad sharing practices. So what about, you know, the serpent wanting to share something with Eve, right? We know how that ended. That wasn't so good. Or Jacob and Esau. You know, I'll share my soup with you for your birthright. So sharing gone bad. Again, it is unfortunate that as much as one might want to share, we often have a skewed perspective of what sharing should look like. Because everyone who shares does not always understand what even they're sharing. And we do not always understand the motivation of people who are trying to share with us. I remember finding a like-minded group of people when I was younger. They seemed to be giving of their resources, of their time, their narcotics, you know, everything. But the concept of misery loves company never occurred to me that they were hurting and they wanted people to hurt with them. And so sharing gone bad. And so when we hear the word share, from the world anyway, from a worldly point of view or a materialistic worldview, a world without God, the word philanthropy comes to mind. The definition of that is the desire to promote the welfare of others, expressed especially by the generous donation of money to good causes. So most of us, we want to promote good welfare to others, right? Well, the problem is, when we think philanthropically, we think about how we are helping people by seeing that we have something they don't. And that we, being the heroes of the story, rescue the people around us from their poverty, right? Well, maybe you don't. Sometimes I do. The problem with that is we forget about our own poverty. We forget about our own poverty because we're so busy trying to help everybody else. So what does poverty have to do with sharing, guys? Right? We hear that word and we think poor. Well, we think of poverty as something or someone being poor, but I would challenge you to another definition of poverty tonight. Poverty that I want to talk about tonight is something greater, a greater poverty. The root of need that we need to understand when we share anything to anyone. Poverty is rooted in the brokenness of foundational relationships. Poverty is a result of relationships that do not work. They are not just, they are not for life, and they are not harmonious or enjoyable. Poverty is the absence of peace. Now, absence of peace with God, self, others, community, and His creation. We can educate, advocate social justice, give materials, and still miss mankind's need, no matter what social, religious, political system you find yourself in or others in. We find broken relationships in a broken world where we try to share to the best of our ability, but the harder we try, the more we realize that our effort looks more like, well, it looks like, what do they call that? Misanthropy? Is it misanthropy? So it becomes the misanthropy of philanthropy. So misanthropy is a dislike for humanity. Those are some big words, bigger words than I ever use. So forgive me. Even try to be the hero. Ever try to be the hero of your own story? Ever try to be the hero, you know, trying to help somebody out? But then someone not care that you're trying to help them out? Or the more you try to do for them, the more ungrateful they become? Come on, guys. I have. Because if we do not have peace, then we cannot share peace, right? If we're trying to do things on our own, it's never going to work out. And this is much to our dismay. If we do not recognize our own poverty, how can we talk about poverty with others? How can we talk about broken relationships? How can we talk about broken things with others, let alone help anyone? So what are we sharing tonight? What are we sharing? We end up sharing a temporary help that dies. And this is unfortunate. And here in tonight's study, we will see how only through the momentum of God's Holy Spirit that we can truly share effectively. We will see the truth about sharing not just peace to restore relationships, but to see that when we share in this restorative practice, that great things happen and God moves. The interesting thing we find is that God does not use the resources we might usually or automatically think one would use to help somebody. You know, we like to throw money at things. You know, I working where I work, again, a lot of times people will throw money at us, you know, in order to help us, but they will not give their time to sit and be with children who need men and women to sit with them and build relationships, okay? So, again, it may, when we share, it may not always look like, you know, money or maybe even other things that we might think, you know, giving different things. It could be any kind of material thing, really. It doesn't always look like that. In tonight's study, we will look at three specific ways that God works and moves in our lives when we are called to share. The first one is need. The second is burden. And then the third is intercession. Go ahead and turn to Numbers, the book of Numbers. Does everybody got Bibles? Bibles? Does anyone need a Bible? If anyone needs a Bible, we can get you a Bible. Raise your hand. No? Yes? No? Yes? Okay. So we're in Numbers 11, 16. All right, you guys get there, and I'm going to give you some context on the scriptures tonight. So here we open up in the book of Numbers, and we find Moses, that iconic Bible character, that type of prophet, priest, and king. We see a Christ type, a giving type, a sharing type, a man who shared his life with a multitude of others. We find Moses along with the Israelites and a mixed multitude wandering out in the wilderness for a time, and there were, needless to say, a lot of complaints, right? There was tons of complaints out in the wilderness and how needs were not being met. And they were tired of what was being provided for them and began to complain about how their desires were not being fulfilled. In this case, they wanted better food. They wanted meat. They did not want the manna that God had provided for them. And so there was a lot of crying and moaning and complaining to Moses. And so there was such a great need at this time because of all the complaining to serve the people in their distress that Moses needed help to minister to them all. So we open the scene to see the Lord answering Moses in his time of need. So just before this, Moses cries out to God. He is on his knees. Lord, what is wrong with these people? Right? You're providing for them. You're giving to them. You're doing everything you can, and they're just not happy. What have I done to deserve this, oh Lord? And so God answers. And so God says to Moses in 16, gather for me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tent of meeting and have them take their place there with you. I will come and talk to you, with you there, and I will take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people along with you, so you will not bear it at all by yourself. And say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have waited in the hearing of the Lord, saying, if only we had meat to eat, surely it was better for us to be in Egypt. Therefore, the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not only one day, or 2 days, or 5 days, or 10 days, or 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you. Because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wailed before him, saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? But Moses said, the people I am with number 600,000 on foot, and you say, I will give them meat, and they may eat for a whole month. Are there not enough flocks and herds to slaughter for them? Are there enough fish in the sea to catch for them? The Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's power limited? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. And then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to them and took some of the spirit, like he promised, off of Moses and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. And then two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them, and they were among these registered, but they did not go out of the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp, and a young man ran to and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And then Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, my Lord Moses, stop them. But Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put their spirit on them? And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. Wow, that's a lot. So right away, we see that Moses hears the cries of his people and wants to help as he cries out. And man, the Lord shows up as he cries out. And so I think that it's interesting that what God does is he gives, Moses help 70 elders, right? And then he tells the people to consecrate themselves, which I think is crazy in a way, because he's telling them to go be holy. Consecrate yourself, set yourself apart. Do this thing, right, to so you can have a relationship with me. But he knows their heart. This whole section of him reminding them of what they said, as he promises to give them what they think their perceived need is. And I think it almost feels like sarcasm, but it's definitely not sarcasm. It's judgment. It's definitely God giving them what they want. And I look at this and it reminds me of myself. It reminds me so many times of the things when I cry out to God thinking that I know my need better than he does. Which, in other words, you know, as he says to set yourself apart, you know, that is what we need to do. We need to be setting ourselves apart. We do need to. But if we do, and we are being holy and we are walking with him, we are not going to be complaining like these people here. See, we know their hearts, and they are far from set apart because of the desire to have what they want. We live in a society that whatever you want, well, you can have it. If you have the money, you can have it, right? And so it's even harder for us, I think, today these guys were just out in the wilderness. They didn't really have a lot, but they had God, and God was taking care of them. So this brings me really to my first point. Whenever we go to share, it is always to fill a need. However, sometimes we don't always share with the right intent. And so in this, it's not just about us sharing with others, but also how others share with us. And so sometimes we share, like I said earlier, to fill a need. And sometimes we share not just to fill others' needs, but to fill ours. Which can be great, but also it can be disastrous, as we often meet people and we can assume that they understand their own needs. We can try to help somebody and say, hey, how can I help you? Have you ever helped somebody that did want something that you were like, are you sure that that's what you need? Are you sure that's what you want? Or you think that, have you ever gone out and bought something for yourself and realized as soon as you got home, you really wanted it, but then you didn't want it? You're like, why did I spend my money on that? This is the same thing. We're such a fickle people. We're such a people who want, but don't even realize what we want. We don't know what our need is. We just think we do. But so I want to think about this, and when I think about a lot of this want and desire that's going on, much of what men think is their need is actually desire and not need. And we need to take a little bit of time to stop and think about that tonight. See, many of the times, even when we give, sometimes we give also just to make people be quiet. I have my kids will come to me, daddy, daddy, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. I'll be like, yeah, just, man, I'm busy here. Like, hey, grandma, can you do that? Hey, mom, can you make sure that that's taken care of? Right? That's so not good. It's so not good. But yet we do it. We do things because people want, we don't stop to think about it. And you know, the Bible shows us different. The Bible shows us different about what desire, you know, the dangers of desire versus healthy need that we as people need as we have a relationship with God. Because remember, the need that we're longing for, the poverty or the poorness that we have, is not the stuff that we want, but the broken relationship that we have with God, because man has fallen, the creation has fallen, and we need to reconcile with God. And so in this concept, You know, I was thinking, you know, again, a lot of times we think we know what sharing is, but again, in Acts 4, 6, we see Peter and John walking to go to pray in the temple, and then they come along the lame man, and you know, he's begging for, he's put out so people will throw money out, and Peter looked at him and said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." See, there was a perceived need, and yet God gave him something greater. And the man would have, here's a man who would have never thought that he was going to, as he was sitting and begging, you know, for what he thought he wanted or what he thought he needed or his desire to have something would result in him never having to beg again. And as the Israelites in our story tonight, we need to be careful of assuming of what they considered their need, or like our need and their need. They need to be careful because it may not be a need. In reality, God was already taking care of their needs. It doesn't take much for a man to actually live and survive and for needs to be met. I remember coming on staff and thinking, you know, how am I going to get by? How am I going to, you know, pay for everything that I need, you know, on the budget that I would make on staff at the church? Well, it turns out that I was not a good steward of my money. Okay? I mean, it's just true. It's just, you know, we have to be honest about these things. And we are. We're wasteful people. We want, and we throw things away. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of acres of people's want in the trash. And so God was already taking care of their needs. The Israelites were not starving. They just wanted something else on the menu, right? The only need they really had was the need to complain. And what we see is God filling the real need, which was securing more leadership to come alongside and help Moses and the people in their need and not in their desire. But it's easy to focus on people's flaws, right? Like we look at the Israelites and we're like, dumb. Those guys were ridiculous, right? And we focus on the judgment like, God, yeah, you make that meat come for a month and make it come out their nostrils. They deserve it. They shouldn't have been complaining, right? But see, this is the problem we find ourselves in as we look at them. We don't see our own poverty. We don't see our own need. And, you know, this is the thing, is desire, the problem with it, it's a one-way relationship that always points to the poverty of man and its broken relationship. The only way to get out of poverty and get our need met is if we are willing to have a two-way relationship. And that two-way relationship is a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think the people thought of at any time, did any of them at any time think that their perceived need and constant complaining was a hindrance to Moses? Did they, you know, maybe we shouldn't give Moses such a hard time. After all, he's got a lot of responsibility. No, they did not, because they have desires, right? But it's easy to think, man, you know, Moses just isn't doing a good job. So, because desire only thinks of self, need is something that is basic and simple. When you hear the words high maintenance guys, that person, when you hear that, it's not that they have a lot of needs. It's just that they have a lot of desire. Let's get it right. So, when we share with others, make sure you go to the Lord as Moses did. If you have, you know, if you want to share and you see need, even if you see somebody with desire, you know, we need to pray for that person. We need to cry out to the Lord. We need to go to the Lord and say, hey, you know, I can see this brother, this sister, they're struggling. You know, I don't need to judge them about, you know, I see that they're desiring, or even, you know, talk to them and say, hey, can I pray for you? You know, or hey, are you struggling? what's going on? Like, I haven't seen this kind of behavior before out of you, you know? Or, you know, if it's a need and you do see the need, pray about how God would fill it. So, when we share with others, make sure you go to the Lord. Moses cried out, "How do I meet this people's need?" And God gave an answer. The second thing we see about perceived need, or this thing that we consider called desire, is that we will try to obtain what God did not intend for us. And we try to fill that God-shaped hole. And as God gives them meat for a month and sets a plague upon them while doing it, well, they find out it's not what they need. And have you ever thought you needed something? Right? And that just keeps on going through my head. Have you ever thought you needed something? I just want you to think about, what do you think you need right now? What do you think right now? Is it going to fill you? Is it going to fill that place that God made to fill in your heart? What is it that you're seeking in life? What is your desire? Well, it's a good thing to sit and think about. This is the human condition of poverty. Trying to fill our stomachs and our hearts with the things of the world, only to find out that God would have gladly spoken to us and met our need. Every time you think you have a need, go to the Lord. He will fill that. And it's going to be much greater. It's going to turn out much better. He will bring help, like he brought Moses. He will bring help. So when we share, it is important to understand that we are trying to meet a need and not a desire. If we try to meet desire, it will be an endless void that no matter how much we try to help it, it ends up feeling like, my second point, a burden. So this burden, this word, well, we all know it feels like when you're carrying something real heavy, when there's something just weighing on you. You ever wake up, you know, in the morning and all those little things have become one big thing and it just makes you feel like you're slumped over and just heavy. And so this concept of burden, we see that the Israelites' desires burden Moses a great deal. If we look at the scriptures leading to the text we read tonight, Moses is crying out to God for help because he was overwhelmed and burdened by the ungratefulness of God's children. We see God giving specific instruction to help lift that burden and the burden of sin that was on the people. But we see that God alleviates the burden and how he does it by taking a little bit of his spirit off Moses, didn't he? It wasn't in Moses' own strength or the elders' own strength. He takes a little bit of that spirit and he put on Moses and shared it with the 70 elders, didn't he? And when we share the burden of others, it is not to weigh heavy on us, as we are to rely on God to carry that burden, the power of God that is in us. Not in our strength. We don't get to do that. So, just to throw it out there, just like Peter and John, as they approach the lame man, has a homeless person ever approached you? And you know they're watching you? And you're just kind of trying to walk by. Have you ever done that? I have, and I'm sorry, but it's true. There's many times. And I try to walk by, and I try to, and it just feels like, you know, you're trying to, hey, what's up? You know, hey, yeah, cool, man. And you know the question's coming. Do you have something? And you know, I used to, there's a pastor here, Al James, who is an interim pastor here. And I remember we'd go eat at this little pho joint downtown, and there would always be a homeless person come at us. It's like they knew Al would give them money, and he'd always give them a couple bucks. And I always thought, man, like why? They're just gonna go get liquor. But you know, if it's in my that's my flesh, but like, when you're filled with the Spirit, man, like you want to give, you want to share. When God, the burden, that burden, because you feel that person's burden when they walk up on you. And you realize, man, there's no way I'm going to fill this guy's burden. You feel that. You feel other people's burdens and how it's so heavy, it's weighing on you. You're like, whoa, back up. You're crushing me. And so it's interesting when we come to this place where, you know, we want to meet people's needs, but, you know, they come with that burden and it's just so heavy we don't know what to do with it. So when we allow God instead of us to carry the burden, well, he gets to meet our need and the needs of others around us, and then we can help others, you know, as much as we want. Or at least as much as he wants to, he's going to give us the strength to do. He's going to give us the wisdom to how much we can. And he's not going to let us pour out so much that it's going to be that it's going to impede us or make us in a way that's going to make us ineffective and be back in the flesh. And so we have to be careful about that balance and make sure if we're feeling, you know, impeded or we start feeling that weight again, to get on our knees and go to the Lord and, you know, be filled with the Spirit again. So, you know, we carry that burden. When we carry that burden on our own, it's always bad news. When we let God carry that burden, it's always a good thing. So the burden of poverty is heavy. And if you are freed up from said burden, you can help guide another person by lifting enough of their burden to show them the poverty of their desire and point them to the greater need of Christ. Christ, the one that took the burden of our sin and death by being crucified, died to face God's wrath, and then was first born from the dead, and he was raised on the third day, right? We see the real danger of God giving us over to our desires. We do. We see that in this passage. We see he's going to give them what they want. He's going to let them bear that burden of their sin. And so we see this, the unending quail meat. Or maybe for us, you know, maybe it's a relationship you wish you never got into with somebody. Maybe it's, you know, all those things you're going to buy that ends up making you broke because you're not watching your bank account. That desire, how dangerous it is. You know, are you creating that burden? The burden we put on ourselves because of desire? We must break free from the burden of desire. So, but really, how can we? Yes. The answer is Jesus, we know that. But as we see God delivering his people from the burden of trouble, the burden of sin, by meeting desire with judgment and meeting the need with his power, we find that burdens dissipate, yes, when we abide in the hands of God, but only when we look to the Lord and cry out for help can we begin to share the burdens of others and meet their needs. We have to, it's so imperative. We don't want to cry out. We just want to help. I got this. As a pastor, there's so many times like I know that I have the tools in my tool belt to just help somebody. So I'll just put like God on hold. Hold on, God, I'll be right back. I'm going to go do this. Look what I can do. You gave me these tools. I'm going to show you how amazing, what a creature, a divine creature you have built. But that is the wrong thing, because then I start carrying my own burden again. And then I also, if it doesn't work, when I'm working on that person, right? I'm working on them. I'm showing God, look it, yeah, right? And then it doesn't work out. They're like, what are you trying to do to me? And I'm like, what? I'm trying to help. And they're like, no, you bent my arm. No, you're breaking my back. And I'm like, what? God, I'm sorry. Don't look. So we need to cry out for God. And it's funny because sometimes we feel like only certain people can help people too, right? You have that? You ever come across like, well, I can't help him. I'll get Vance to help him. Vance knows. He's been there. I'll just throw him out there. Or have you ever, I mean, even as someone who worked in the church, you know, you'll go to somebody that's like, I need so much help, you know, right now. And you're like, man, I don't know. I just better go get the pastor. Well, wait, I'm a pastor too. Like, God brought that person to me. Maybe I should try to help. You know, are the people that are coming to you, that God's bringing to you in your life, are you like trying? Are you like, no, I don't think I can do this. That person right there, they can help. Just pass the buck, right? And it's funny because, you know, we see Joshua in this scripture do that very same thing, right? He was upset in a completely different way than the rest of the Israelites who wanted different menu. It says, Joshua the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, My Lord Moses, stop them. He said, Moses, you're the only one who can do this. And granted, he believed that Moses was the only one who could do it. He's the only one who could be used by God, or at least thought should be the only one. We are like that. We are like Joshua for a number of reasons. Because we like to pass the buck and letting someone own the burden. Let them deal, you know, like, hey, yeah, just let them deal with it. We're focused on the leadership of a man. Like, we have this awe of man, right? And when I say like that, that's like a fear of man. Like, man is awe. He's so amazing. He's the only one who can help. Or C, we're just selfish. So I'll give Joshua this, though. He had seen some of his leaders do some dumb stuff. Even people who counseled with Moses, you know, they would mess up badly in trying to alleviate the burden of desire. Do you remember Aaron, right, in building the altar of Baal? We know that ended poorly. And Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, who were decimated for offering the profane fire. These guys were leaders in their community. And so we can look at a man this way. We can, you know, well, all these other guys, they don't know what they're doing. So just that guy, he can only do it. No. Because it's never about trusting man, guys. It's about trusting God. And it's about God trusting to use men or people that he's bringing into your life that are godly people. It's okay. So we have to be careful. We limit God's arms by saying who he can use to help us and probably who he can use, you know, to do anything. You know, we start telling God who he's going to be and what he's going to do. And we have to be careful that we do not send away the people God is sending into our lives to help us with our burdens and the ones that he's sent us to them to help them with their burdens, to help each other, to love each other, to share with one another. But here we have but a moment of prophecy echoed throughout the ages of God's divine work to meet our need in a broken world with broken lives, with broken relationships, and a rattled Joshua brought this to Moses' lips. He said, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them? Well, that's funny because that's what the book of Joel also echoes, which is that foreshadowing of the Holy Spirit, right? Being for anyone who would accept Jesus, to have this spirit of power, the spirit of God in him. And it says in Joel 2:28 and 29, it says, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my maidservants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. That's right. The most important part of knowing how to share in the midst of the poverty of mankind is through the intercession, which is my third point, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We see that it is only by the Spirit that Moses is able to have the strength to lead and intercede for these people, these ungrateful people. Not by his, but by his. And that's what we see. The reason we need to understand this in this context of helping people with their needs is that intercession often calls for confrontation, right? If I'm going to intercede, I've got to get out and get messy. I got to go touch something, right? You know, Jesus got messy, didn't he? Jesus came down from heaven. He got messy. He got down here with us. He stunk with us. He sweat with us. He cried over us. He longed over us. He was tortured for us. And man, that is just, that's what intercession is, and that's a lot of confrontation. I think about Jesus, all the confrontation he did, whether it was his disciples asking dumb questions, whether it's with the Pharisees, you know, giving him a hard time, and he's still trying to minister to them as well as disciples, and nobody understood him, and yet he still interceded, but there was confrontation along the whole way, and this is a scary thing for many of us because many of us don't like to confront. You have heard the adage, the road to hell is paved with good intention. That is especially true when trying to intercede to try to help people in their need in our own strength. Boys trying to help boys. Here's another little story about where I work. Boys love to help boys. Like if a staff is having trouble with a boy that is dysregulated or upset and screaming, another boy will be like, I will help. No, please don't. And so it's the same thing with God. You know, you have somebody who's upset, going crazy, and you're like, oh, hey, I'm going to help. And God's like, don't do it. Don't just like, let me use you. And it's, I know it seems funny. It's not funny because it impedes the work of God. And so we look at that and we laugh, and but it's true. And man, boys trying to help boys, this is one of the most frustrating things for somebody who's really has the tools to help. And God really has the tools to help. God really has the tools to help us in our sharing. So, guys, sometimes when we get to help people, you know, and they start yelling at us, and we want to intercede, and we want to confront, and they say, you're not helping me, that's fine. There's going to be times where you confront and try to help people, and they're not going to say anything good. As a matter of fact, you're going to walk away, and you're going to be brokenhearted. You're going to wonder if God would even use you, or even love you, or have anything to do with you by the way people would talk to you in their desire. And that's right. We can't help them. We can't. I cannot intercede for that person, but the Holy Spirit can. And that's a beautiful thing. When we do, the Holy Spirit helps us confront our poverty, our own poverty, and then we get looking at ourselves and where we're at, and we're like, all right, Lord, I'm going to just surrender to you. And then we get to confront the poverty of someone else. Right? It's biblical counseling 101, right? Before you take the splinter out of your brother's eye, take the log out of your own. Simple. The Spirit empowers intercession to confront in truth and love. It brings words of godly wisdom to our lips and is the source of a supernatural restorative practice which turns desire into gratefulness and burden into beauty. That's pretty neat. We see great things in the book of Acts, all over the book of Acts, just not from, you know, we saw the guy get healed, but we see even greater things. When people are subject to the Holy Spirit to share with one another, crazy things happen. How open are you to the Spirit? Are you ready for this? We see great things in the books of Acts when people are given to the Holy Spirit, as it helps us manage, the Holy Spirit helps us manage not just sharing, but sharing our time, talent, and resources in a way that is surrendered as the Lord would use us in things for His will. Like, it starts blowing your mind if you're really open to it and to share with others. We see it in Acts 4:32-37. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. And this is just right after they get done praying. They're praying and opening up. They're opened up to the Holy Spirit because, you know, the Holy Spirit is moving. and wants to use us. And it says, of those who believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and they brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each and anyone that had need. Isn't that crazy? Now, I'm not saying that God wants us just to go, you know, sell everything we got and then just make sure everybody's got the same, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this is what happens when we let God fill our need, take away our burden, and let the Holy Spirit use us. We might see some crazy stuff. We might see, it may not look like that, but it may be far greater than this. But we put limitations, right? You know, I do need this. I want this and I want that. I don't know if I want that. So this was a unique work of the Holy Spirit. And we say, how? Well, we say, yeah, this is too spectacular. It's too good to be true. There's no way that, could this really happen? But that is what happens when we let the Spirit intercede. Are you open to being used? When people approach you in their poverty of their need and not feel it a burden as you confront your own poverty and theirs while allowing the Holy Spirit to meet the need and do something that will blow your mind. God wants to meet us and intercede for us in our poverty to remind us, if we would listen to Him and have faith, that He will take care of us, that He took away the burden of our fallen state and has met our needs by restoring our relationship with Him. That He is our all in all, and that is all we need. Everything else is whipped topping, guys. Everything else is icing on the cake. After you have Jesus, it's all good. You can kiss your wants goodbye. You have everything you need. Everything else is whip-topping because we do not deserve anything, and yet He has made us heirs to His kingdom, and everything He has is ours. So what now, guys? What do we do with any of this? Now we're ready to go. We got the Holy Spirit in us, and we're empowered, and we're doing all the right things. So how do we do it? How do we practically get out there and share? Well, many of us want to be the person that God uses to bless others. Well, many of us do, but then again, we don't want anybody blessing us. So that's not good. So if you really want to be used, also be open to be blessed. Be open. Many of us do not want to be that vulnerable. Again, we see throughout the Bible that sharing is meeting a person's need by helping them with a burden. As we let the Holy Spirit use us to intercede, it can look many different ways. As I said, it doesn't always look how we think it should, right? So it can look like spending time with someone and listening. Okay, I'm going to keep it easy, guys. It can be using your talents of carpentry or maintenance to work on someone's home. Good. It could be giving through finances. Still, it could be. It can be in verbal sharing of the gospel and when it's modeled in love. It can be watching someone's house while they're away on vacation or watching their daughters. It could be giving someone a ride somewhere. It could be opening the door for someone. I always used to tell that to my youth kids. Man, you know, it's all right. You know, just smile at people. Open up a door for somebody in the name of Jesus. And we make it too difficult. We try to make it hard. And what makes it hard is our own desire to want to be comfortable, our desire and our want. And so going back to, because this is the deal, we can't see what people need, but the Holy Spirit can. Let's go back to Acts just super quick. I'm sorry, guys. Seeing Peter and John, you know, they're about to go to the temple. The guy asks for the alms, you know. They fix their eyes on Him. They're super intentional, filled with the Spirit. They look at Him, let Him know, hey, Man, in the name of Jesus, we don't have anything material, but what we do have, we're going to give to you right now, right? And Peter says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have to you in the name of Jesus Christ, Nazareth, rise up and walk. And so he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. I mean, I'll just be honest. No, when we go to help people, we always have a perceived idea of what helping looks like. But I challenge you to stop and think about your own poverty, your own brokenness, your own, you will feel their burden as they come and approach you. And I challenge you to stop and think about you and your own poverty and take that to God and say, Lord, help me see what this person's real need is as they approach, that you might see beyond the burden and touch their life. In the name of Jesus, touch their life. So, in the end, he's leaping up, he stood, he walked, and entered the temple with them, walked leaping and praising God, and we just see such a wonderful work of God as he gave over to, you know, as these guys are just given over to the Spirit. They met this guy's need far beyond anything that he could have ever imagined. You know, they made him a believer, right? They made him understand something that was, there was, his need was greater than even him being lame. That he needed Jesus for that true healing. And as we are used by the Spirit, we literally let people see Christ. Have you seen Christ lately? Have you seen him? Have you seen Jesus, your Savior, your Master? Have you seen him lately? Well, literally, guys, as we are used by the Spirit, we people see Christ. We are Christ. We are the hands, the feet, the face of Christ. Have you seen him lately? Be filled with the Spirit and look in the mirror. And so, guys, for you teens out there, I didn't say be full of yourself and look in the mirror. I said, be filled with the Spirit and look in the mirror. You want to be filled with the Spirit, spend time with God, read his word, and be obedient to live and act upon his word. Don't get caught up in the misanthropy of philanthropy. There's those big words again. Where we find that we are pouring our time and talent and resources into a giant void that is the poverty of broken humanity, which brings no peace. Remember, poverty is rooted in the brokenness of foundational relationships, that foundational relationship being our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have that reconciled, and it can only be through Christ himself. Poverty is that result of relationships that do not work, and boy, we love to have those. It's the absence of peace, of God, self, others, community, and his creation. And we'll fall into this trap if we're not looking for the need to help, you know, for God to fulfill our need of our poverty, to receive relief from our burdens by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In order that we get to be the momentum, we get to be when we share correctly, when we understand the need, when we let him have the burden, when we are filled with the Spirit, then we get to see the momentum, God's movement of his restorative process to share. Oh, how happy, guys. Remember, blessed? Blessed means, oh, how happy. Oh, how happy that we are his hands. Oh, how happy that we are his feet and his face, and his Spirit resides in us and uses us. We just need to cooperate. And not to get sidetracked by desire and the fear of man, the awe of man, all the other things that come to this, what's that? Focus. The Holy Spirit intercedes to take our burden and meet our needs. So, walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Minister in the Spirit that you will bear fruit of the Spirit. And for all the things that I just listed off that seem real ordinary, like smiling at people, can be extraordinary moments of supernatural restorative practice in which we are able to give and receive freely to fulfill the law of Christ. Amen? Being free to see God move when we share is an amazing thing. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the capacity to share, for the power to share within your Spirit, Lord. Father, I know that, man, there's so many distractions right now. Not just normal distractions of life, but COVID-19, sickness, fear, things that just kind of we obsess over because it's everywhere. Lord, I just pray even now that your Holy Spirit would fall upon your people, Lord, that you would just fill your people, that you could just have our burdens, Lord, that you would just meet our need tonight. Father, help us, Lord, in all that we need, Lord, as we just ask that we would be a little less stiff-necked, that you would just soften up our neck, that we would cooperate, abide, and just surrender to your Spirit and watch extraordinary things happen, that you would bend and mold and shape your kingdom reality out of this brokenness. So, Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word. And I just pray that as we go out this week, that we would be looking to really share your love with others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.